Officially taught Yosef to feel the Yetzer Hara. How did he overcome the Yetzer Hara? What strategies did he use? And what tactics can we incorporate into our own Avodas Hashem? Now, I have really about 20 tactics involved, so we're obviously not going to do that. It's impossible. But we have to discuss a few things beforehand, specifically about the Yetzer Hara, to better understand him, and then move on to Yosef. So first of all, the Yetzer Hara is actually very good for us. I would actually say that we owe him Hakoras HaTov, tremendous Hakoras HaTov, and why could that be? But in fact, Chazal already say, there's a Zohar that says, V'yar Elokim is kol asher asah v'hinei tov me'od, that on Yom Shishi it was tov me'od. Tov is malach hachayim. Me'od, tov me'od is malach hamavis, the Yetzer Hara. The same identity. Malach hamavis, Yetzer Hara, Satan, they're all the same person. Being. Why are we thanking him? So the Zohar gives a marshal, it's a famous marshal, with a king who decided he wanted to test his son, the prince, his loyalty to the king. And therefore what he did was, he knew there was a Zona who used to hang out, a very beautiful Zona who would hang out outside the palace. So he said, I want you to do a job for me. I want you to try and attempt to seduce my son. So the Zona makes a major effort. She basically attacks the guy by kissing and hugging him and everything like that. But the Zohar doesn't say full-fledged. But if the son overcomes it, if he manages to overcome it, so he proves his loyalty to the king. So the Zona, says the Zohar, has done actually two things that are unbelievably good. One is, she obeyed what the king asked her to do. The second thing is, because of the Zona, if the prince overcomes the Zona, then he deserves to be rewarded. So he's helping, the Zona is helping the son show his loyalty, his fealty to the king himself. This is the view of the Yetzer Hara in the Zohar. Sefer HaChassidim similarly says, we won't be deserving to get any reward from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. It's only because of the Yetzer Hara that we're not robots. And therefore, if we truly overcome our Yetzer Hara, wow, that's unbelievable. Something for us to keep in mind too, Rav Ari Kaplan points this out in Inner Space, the moment the son realizes, the prince realizes that the Zona is simply a test from his father, it actually becomes much easier to overcome the Zona, overcome the Yetzer Hara. And that's something for us to keep in mind too. The Yetzer Hara was created for a secondary purpose, right? The primary purpose is to show that we truly love a Kodesh Baruch Hu. But that would help us overcome the Yetzer Hara. Okay, so that's as far as the Yetzer Hara. Now, the Yetzer Hara is powerful. As we know, Rabbi Meir, the Gemara tells us in Kedushin Pei Aleph that Rabbi Meir used to make fun of people who in essence failed and collapsed and were not able to withstand their Yetzer Hara. He made fun of them. He says, it's not that hard to beat the Yetzer Hara. Satan got very upset at Rabbi Meir, and he appeared to him as an incredibly beautiful woman on the other side of the river. Rabbi Meir missed the boat, fortunately, but he had to get to the other side. He was overcome with this beautiful woman. And he started trying to get over. He went over this rickety bridge, you know, the type where you're hanging onto a wire below and a wire on top. He's trying to get across. And Satan all of a sudden says, he turns back into his figure, Satan, I guess, and he says to Rabbi Meir, if not for the fact that Shamayim told me, be careful of Rabbi Meir and his Torah, I would have made your life, and literally, the Gemara says, worthless, basically. Don't make fun of people who have difficulty. Now, for some reason, the Gemara quotes it out of order, which is another discussion, but it quotes Rabbi Akiva, who is Rabbi Meir's Rabbi, and he also made fun of the Yetzer Hara. And in that case, the Yetzer Hara appears at the top of the tree as a beautiful woman. Rabbi Akiva actually starts climbing the tree. Similar story. Last moment, the Yetzer Hara turns back into himself, and Rabbi Akiva is warned, don't make fun of those who fail with the Yetzer Hara. It's not a simple thing. It's not simple to overcome your Yetzer Hara. And finally, I'll just end with the story of Chia Barashi. Rav Chia Barashi.
Isn't Ramez Rebbe Acher?
Sorry?
Isn't Ramez Rebbe Acher?
Yeah. was also his Rebbe, yeah, for sure. Yeah, that was one of the big questions. Why in the Gemara and Sanhedrin is Rabbi Meir one of the five or six people who gets smicha from Rabbi Yehuda ben Balva? He already had smicha from Rabbi Akiva. So one of the answers is that he was too young at the time, and that even though he got smicha from Rabbi Akiva, he was a genius. He might have got like age 13 or something, but for some reason it didn't take. It's not the smicha we have today, but if I remember, the Margolius Yom discusses that. But for sure, Rabbi Akiva was his Rebbe. Just a young guy. Rabbi Chiya bar Ashi, tremendous scholar, and every day he would fall on his face and he would say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem, please save me from the Yetzer Hara. Rachamon Yatzilenu Yetzer Hara, every single day. His wife's gone, like, why is he doing this? Why is he doing this? We haven't had relations in years. Why is he saying this? So she goes ahead and she disguises herself, this is again the Gemara Kedushin, disguises herself like the famous harlot of the day, Charuta, that's her name. And she passes by him a few times because he's learning outside on the park bench, learning. But all of a sudden he notices her and says, who are you? And she goes, Charuta. So he flips out and he actually runs after her. And she goes, I'm willing to sleep with you. But get me that pomegranate at the top of the tree. Well, he gets the pomegranate. The story's not 100% clear, but as he gets the pomegranate, she disappears. Anyway, she goes back, takes off her clothes, she turns back into the wife of Chiya bar Ashi, and she's actually in the kitchen making food. Rav Chiya bar Ashi comes in dejected, and he actually goes into the oven. He jumps into the oven. He goes, what are you doing? He goes, and he tells her what happened, how he lost himself after all this time. He deserves to be killed. We're not going to get into suicide issues now. That's a different issue. And she goes, but it was me. And she brings a proof, right? But he wasn't happy because his intentions were to do an Aveira. Okay, but again, we see the power of a Yetzer Hara, a man who literally... He's out of the parsha, basically. He's impotent. And yet, all of a sudden, he's caught off guard, too. The Gemara in Kedushin says also, the Yetzer Hara is so evil that even HaKadosh Baruch Hu calls it Ra. Rak, Ra, Kol Hayom. If not for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Yetzer Hara would overcome us and kill us. We need HaKadosh Baruch Hu's help. So the Yetzer Hara is out of control, as they would say. Now, let's get Yosef. Yosef is brought to Mitzrayim. Okay, so we all know the story. You know, his mistress, the woman of the house, says to him, Shechvayimi, sleep with me, right? And he refuses, and this goes on day to day. But there's a bigger story which we have to really see, partially from the Medrash, and partially by just realizing what we're talking about. First of all, we're talking about Mitzrayim. The Pasuk says, Medrash quotes it, Asher Bisar Chamorim Bisorim. They don't care about Arayas. Arayas to them is meaningless. Completely, absolutely meaningless. And that means that in America, if a politician could get in trouble for Arayas in Mitzrayim, it's meaningless. It's meaningless. It literally is meaningless. Okay. Now, his mistress wants to sleep with him. Okay, so that's what we're starting with already. So says the Medrash. The Medrash goes on. It says like this. She would change her clothes. According to the Gemara, it was only two times a day. According to the Medrash, she changed her clothes three times a day. Always into nice clothes. I mean, Imelda Marcus, with her thousands of shoes, probably learned it from this woman. She was the predecessor to Imelda Marcus. And this went on literally for 12 months. 12 months, yom, yom. It wasn't a one-day thing, I can withstand my Yetzer Hara. He was tested day in and day out. So much so that there are three people in the Gemara and Sanhedrin quoted as being of an incredible level as far as Arayus, and each has pluses and minuses as far as how difficult the test was. One was Yosef, one was Boaz, and one was Palti ben Laish. And it's day-to-day test. Boaz was actually extremely difficult. Extremely difficult. He was in bed with Rus. However, it was a one-time thing. You're talking about every single day in a country that nobody cares. Okay. Anyway, what happens is the Gemara in Yuma goes on and says that she was getting, she's trying to seduce him and everything. It's not going well. So she even used other tactics. Here's some tactics. She says, I'll throw you into prison. Yosef says, at least to himself, Hashem matir asurim, I'm not scared. I'll bend you down. I'll put you on a rack or something. Hashem zokev kefufim. I'll blind you. Hashem pokeh ivrim. Take a break. The Medrash Rabbah says, I will tell my husband that you tried to rape me and you'll get killed. He ignored her, just ignored her. She says, I'll give you money. Here's how much was it? It was a ton of 1,000 kikar kesef, right? Okay, it wasn't like Haman, 10,000 kikar, but you're talking a lot of money. He refused. And in fact, the Gemara in Yuma says, Yosef is mechayev es harishoyim. If Yosef, who was 17, for heaven's sake, at the time when he came to Egypt, and he could do this, then what right do the Rishoyim have to fall in and collapse before the Yetzer Hara? Says the Rambam, call a poresh me avero, if anybody who separates themselves from an avero or does a mitzvah, not because they're scared, right? Forget Egypt, forget it. All right? And not because of kavod, but simply because of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, that is the highest level of Kiddush Hashem, and that is Yosef HaTzadik. That is Yosef HaTzadik. So that's who we're talking about, just to get you an idea of who we're talking about, Yosef HaTzadik. Okay, I see, I don't have that much time, so we got to really get into what he did. Okay, so how did Yosef get saved? In fact, it's very difficult to understand how he did it. You look at the story, he should have collapsed. He should have collapsed. However, we're already told in Sefer Mishlei twice that in Mishlei Perek Aleph Pasuk Hey, it says, V'novon tachpulot itneh. Somebody who is wise will learn strategies how to protect himself. Similarly, Perek Chof Dalet of Mishlei, B'tachpulot taseh locha milchama. You have to use strategies when you fight. And this is a war. This is a war with the Yetzer Hara. Okay. The first one is it's actually said very well. Ma'aseh Shel Torah talks about it. Ayeh HaKadesha Hi Be'inayim Al HaDerech. When it says by Yehuda, so Chira, his friend, asked, where is the harlot who was here by this place, Einayim Al HaDerech? So the Hasidic Rebbe says there, I forget who it is, he says what it means on another level is Ayeh HaKadesha. How do you reach a problem of zunus? Kadesha there means a zona, right? But inayim, it's because of the eyes. We have to protect our eyes. And in fact, that is part of the story of Yosef. He would bend his head downwards. He actually would not look at her. He refused to look at her. In fact, she got so testy about it that she somehow, I didn't understand it, but she tied like something like a metal skewer to his beard. Okay, it won't work on me. And every time he bent his head, it would smash him in his chest. And it hurt. It hurt. And yet he would keep his head down, even if he would get hit that way. And in fact, that's this week's parsha. That's why I really did it, because of this week's parsha, because it says, Ben Poros Ale Oyin. He was blessed by Yaakov Ale Oyin. The greatness he did with his eye. In fact, even later, when he became the second command, the royal advisor in Egypt, so women would gather by the wall to see. Yosef was a really handsome guy, and they wanted him to look at, Yosef, look at us! And they would throw down trinkets at him. Not that he needed the money, they would throw at him bracelets and other things, and he wouldn't look up. He didn't look. He didn't look. Shmir Seinayim means he didn't look. Yeah, you might have to talk to a woman. But he mabit, he actually uses the word mabit, which he didn't gaze at them. In this case, he didn't look at all, and that's really one of the ways to protect yourself. And in fact, the Gemara, when it lists how there was Yeridus Hadoros, originally we had focused on all 613 commandments, and then it got less and less and less in Gemara Makos. So when it got down to six in the days of Yeshaya, one of the six was Otsam Einot Me'ero Ospara. Make sure you keep your eyes shut. Keep your eyes shut, and don't look. Part of our problem is, I think, when we come to look, is because of curiosity. It's curiosity. They tell a story with Rav Eliyahu Lapian where he was at the bus stop, and he didn't, of course he doesn't have it now where you can call your phone and you get the exact minute when a super bus is going to come, right? That didn't exist. But he actually picked his eyes up to look if the bus was coming, and he castigated himself for looking and giving into his curiosity. Okay, but you go to a wedding, and this is a kala there. Really, it's a problem. To really take a serious look at the kala, that is a problem, and it's something for us to realize. Okay, at least I find the type of newspapers we have here that we're exposed to. There, unfortunately, we do have still Yediot and Ma'ariv and all these other things, but you're not going to have the problem that you do in the New York Times with women in underwear that you would have you just don't have it in Hamodia. So that is the first lesson for us, that we somehow have to try to control our eyesight. Again, the Gemara Bava Basra says that the people should be making an effort, even if you have no choice. You got to go down a certain path. and you're going to pass by a woman who looks a little promiscuous, you have to make an effort to the best of your ability. It is proper to look away as you go past. Okay, that's the first one. The second one is, when I was in Yeshiva in Israel, I still remember I called one of my rabbeim from Toronto who had made Aliyah, and I said, I'd like to come over for Shabbos. So he goes to me, "How are you doing?" So I start telling him, "I'm fine." So he goes, I hear on the other side of the phone, "Thank God." Right? Baruch Hashem. He says, "Baruch Hashem." That's the second thing Yosef did. Shem Shamayim Shagur Befiv. That's, Rashi says that's how Potiphar knew that Yosef was somebody special. He always said Shem Shemayim. If you looked at the Medrash, actually, it's even funnier. Yosef, whenever he would do something for Potiphar, he was constantly davening for God that it should go well. So Potiphar suspected of magic. What is this? I ask you for a cold drink, it's cold. I ask you for a hot drink, it's hot. What is this? You a magician or something? So Shem Shamayim, he learned from Yosef Shem Shamayim Shagur B'Fiv, and he learned it from his father, learned something to think about, that Yaakov, who was scared that he would be caught by Yitzchak, by the Brachos, and yet Yaakov did not hesitate to use Shem Shamayim. He said, "Ki Yikra Hashem Lokach Lefanai, I got the food so fast because Hashem caused it." And Yitzchak says, "Something's funny here. What is this? Esav doesn't use Shem Shamayim. Why would he risk his life, risk everything?" Except Shem Shamayim beats everything. Even at the risk of his life, Yaakov was not willing to change his mind, and that Yosef learned it from his father. Now, what is the idea of Shem Shamayim Shagur B'Fiv? So that's a famous story that there was a Ravin in a wagon, and they were going along the road, the Balagola all of a sudden decides, he looks around, there's nobody there, and he sees some hay in the field, he decides he's going to steal it. He says, "Tell me if anybody's watching." So he sneaks up, he gets the hay, he's walking back, and all of a sudden the guy screams, "Somebody's watching." Guy whips the hay, jumps in the wagon, hits it, they run off in the wagon about, let's say, a mile or two, and finally the guy realizes nobody's chasing after them. He goes, "Nobody was watching, it's not true." And the rabbi goes, "HaKadosh Baruch Hu is watching. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is watching." And that's the idea of Shem Shamayim Shagur B'Fiv. That is Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Tami. Because if you're constantly mentioning HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name, you're constantly, it's not just you say Baruch Hashem, but you're supposed to inculcate within you and realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is watching us. The Rambam says that's why we say Mea Brachos every day, to inculcate that idea. So we should take in that, to remember God constantly and fear Him. This is actually the first Ramah in Shulchan Aruch. The first Ramah in Shulchan Aruch, which, by the way, is from the Moreh Nevuchim. It's from the Moreh Nevuchim, people don't realize. The very first Ramah talks about the ways of Tzadikim, that they remember Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Tami. They constantly remember that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in front of us. So, again, we have here, first of all, Shmir Seinayim to protect us. And the second is Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Tami. God is watching. We don't want to disappoint HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, the third, which should not be underrated at all, is Torah. Now, I know the Netziv claims that Yosef, when he got to Mitzrayim, did not learn Torah. He forgot his Torah. The Netziv actually does say that. However, the Midrashim actually say differently. Okay, Lasos Malachto says, Midrash Rabbah, Lilmod Torah, that on the day when nobody was in the house, except Eishes Potiphar, he actually went in to do his Malach. What's his Malach? Not like Rashi quotes. Malacha for him was learning Torah. And the Gemara in fact says, Vis Samtem, sounds like, which we say in Shema, God makes us a medicine. Now, it could be for our good or bad. Sometimes people misquote Torah and it can be horrible. But if somebody uses Torah properly, it works as a medicine. And that's why, says the Gemara, Barasi Yetzer Hara, Ubrasilo, Torah Taflin. I created this antidote called Torah against the Yetzer Hara. If you're Osek B'Torah, which means not just Torah light, but you are serious about your Torah learning, then you're not given over into the hands of the Yetzer Hara. If the Yetzer Hara comes to you, bring him to the base medrash. That's why it's sometimes crowded in the base medrash if you've got the Yetzer Hara with you. Okay, so says the Mesil Shisharman, an incredible piece in Perikei. He says like this. Okay. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who created the Yetzer Hara for man, created the antidote, which is the Torah. And he quotes the Gemara, as I said. And if he did not create this antidote, He says basically like this. He says, the way to protect yourself from the Torah, from the Yetzer Hara, is by using Torah. We are told that this is the antidote. Don't think that you can outsmart what we're taught and come up with different antidotes, but this is the primary antidote to protect you from the Yetzer Hara. And in fact, if you don't use Torah and you try to use other things with and not delve into Torah, you'll pay for it. You'll pay for it because in the end result, you will sin and you'll be punished by a Kodesh Baruch Hu. You will do all the strategies, all the tactics possible against the Yetzer Hara, and you don't take this medicine of Torah, as I said, you don't realize how sick you are. You need Torah. Torah works somehow, I hate using the word segula, what it's become, but in some way that we cannot fully understand, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it certain powers, and by learning Torah, it protects us from the Yetzer Hara. Prevents Hirhure Avera from coming upon our minds. That is the Mesil Sishorim. Again, in Perek Hey, and I didn't do it justice. Okay, it would have been better to have some English, which I didn't have here, and just read straight from the English. But again, he couldn't be more emphatic that it's only through Torah. And Torah is the prime antidote to the Yetzer Hara. So I guess we're all in the right place. Okay, another possibility is Tefillah. Tefillah. Now, we don't see Yosef HaTzadik using the strategy of Tefillah, but we do see Tefillah mentioned numerous times in the Gemara. There's a story about Rav Acha bar Yaakov. Rav Acha bar Yaakov, I actually checked because I was curious. He's quoted a lot. He's quoted 138 times in the Gemara, at least, probably more, because the way I wasn't checked, I would have had made a better check. But Rav Acha bar Yaakov would shake his lulav, and as he was shaking his lulav, he says, this is a arrow in the eyes of Satan. This is an arrow in the eyes of Satan. Now, what he was really trying to do was daven that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should protect him from Satan. And he was saying, this should act as a spear in the eye of Satan. Now, why do you say eye? Because eyes are very dangerous when it comes to Satan, right? The eyes see, the heart desires, and then we're finished. So it's critical to deal with the eye. The Gemara says it is incorrect what Rav Acha bar Yaakov did. It is incorrect. It's not how you should react to Satan. You should not do that with Satan. In fact, the Gemara tells us elsewhere in another Gemara, with Flemo, somebody was Flemo. Flemo was actually a very funny guy in some level. He actually is quoting the Gemara Minachos, where he asked Rebbe Yehuda Hanasi, they were talking about Bechor, a Bechor, and you know, you gotta give 5 shekel for a Bechor. What if the Bechor is two-headed, meaning it's a Siamese twins? Do you have to give 10 shekel or 5 shekel, right? So Rebbe goes to me, goes, Flemo, that was uncalled for. You have to choose if you want cherem, nidui, or go to exile, golus. It's a chutzpah what you did. And at that moment, as he was about to have to choose, a two-headed guy walks in, a Siamese twin. I think it was a Shiloh about tefillin on both heads. I don't even remember anymore. Okay, that's Flemo. So anyway, Flemo was very scared about Averos, and every day he would say, this should act as a spear. The mitzvahs I do should be a spear, arrow in the eyes of Satan. And Satan was ticked off. So he showed up and on Erev Yom Kippur, and with, to make a long story short, basically he grosses out everybody in Flemo's house. Flemo rebukes him, and then all of a sudden the Satan acts as if he has a heart attack and dies. And Flemo hears voices, people saying, Flemo killed somebody! So he takes off, he's scared and terrified. So finally he meets him hiding in the bathroom. He's hiding in the bathroom. And Satan reveals himself to him and says, I only did it to you because you didn't talk properly. That's not how you talk. That's not how you talk. It's not fair to me. It's not fair to me. So he says, how should you talk? How should we talk? I don't want you to overcome me. What should I say? So he says, you should not say an arrow in the eye of Satan. Rather, you should say, Hashem, please rebuke Satan. Please rebuke Satan. That's what you should say. Okay? And we actually say it in davening on days of Kriyas Torah. Let me see. I just wrote it down because otherwise I knew I'd make a mistake. V'yigar b'yetzer hara min ha-nesuim. We actually do say it. Okay? As they take out the Torah, we say it. V'yigar b'yetzer hara min ha-nesuim, where you should rebuke Satan. It's based on the pasuk in Zechariah, really, where Hashem, Zechariah Navi says, or the Malach says, Hashem should rebuke Satan. Okay. Just as an aside, I don't know how to answer this Gemara. Rav Chisda actually got married at age 16, and he said if he would have gotten married at age 14, he could have said an arrow in the eyes of Satan. Now it doesn't go with the Gemara as we just learned. I'm just throwing it out as a question. Okay, so we see the point. There should be an idea that people should daven for a Kaddish Baruch Hu's help, especially since Satan is so powerful he can overcome us. Now we actually say it every day in davening in Berachot HaShachar, Al Tashleit Bein Banu Yetzar Hara, right? So that's something to keep in mind. You got to daven. You daven for a Kaddish Baruch Hu's help. What I do, which is a combination of davening and also as far as the mitzvah of tefillin, which also applies to this week's parsha, it's as follows. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says that if you have poshet umos ha'olam begufon, it's a serious crime, a serious punishment from a Kodesh Baruch you get. What is poshet umos ha'olam begufon? That's if they commit arayas. They commit arayas. What is poshet Yisrael begufon? Now, I don't think it's to exclude arayas. But there's one other poshe Yisrael begufon, and that is if you don't wear tefillin. If you don't wear tefillin, you are called a poshe Yisrael begufon, which is a serious avera. The Lubavitcher Rebbe actually had, based on the Girsas Arif, you're only called a poshe Yisrael begufon if you never wore tefillin even once, and that's why they have the Lubavitch mobiles where they would get people to put on tefillin, actually, that one time. Sorry? Karkapta de shalom manach tefillin. Karkapta lo. So their girsa of the riff is lo manach tefillin me olam ever. It's not in the girsa of our Gemara. It's the girsa of the riff. I saw the shul with the Rav Sharabi. That's why he claims he did it. My brother actually once met a guy on the plane who had never put on tefillin, and from some irreligious kibbutz in Israel, and he tried. He wasn't successful. He said, Anyway, in the...
Oh, look at that. Let's say it's like putting on potatoes on your arms. You're already doing it.
Well, it's hard to say that they believe they're taking their blood pressure. You know, they're not taking their blood. They realize they're doing something. They try to explain it, right? Anyway, getting back to tefillin. In this week's parsha, Yaakov says to Yosef, Ro fanecha lo filalti. I didn't expect to see you ever again. Filalti, says Rashi, means machshava, thought. Filalti is connected to the word with tefillin also. So tefillin is really used for controlling our thoughts. And indeed, in the Hinani Mechavim, Banochas, tefillin, etc., we say at the very end, V'lo yiskar rabbanu yetzer hara, that the yetzer hara should not start up with us. We don't want this yetzer hara to start up with us. Again, tefillin is important. Tefillin is important in dealing with the Yetzer Hara. And finally, just to say, we say every day in davening, V'simcha keno imahem, right? So the Yavid says what we just said before. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't help us, we'd be finished. We'd be finished. We need HaKadosh Baruch Hu's help to deal with the Yetzer Hara. Okay, how long am I supposed to go? I should stop? I can go on. Okay, some of these things will just be a little shorter, some a little longer. Yichud is very important to realize. It's not a joke. It's something we got to be very, very careful about. It could happen all of a sudden. Like I was in the house one day when all of a sudden a friend of one of my daughters was in the house with everybody else there, and all of a sudden everybody was leaving except that friend and me. So I said, and I actually was very tired. I go, let's go to my daughter. You're not leaving this house. You're staying here. I'm going to go to sleep. When I finish sleeping, then I'll leave the house, and then I don't care what you do. But you got to be careful of Yichud at all times. Yichud could be babysitting. Yichud could be in all ways. Where do we see it by Yosef? So the Sforno and the Rashbam both say that Liyot Imah, he did not want to be with her, be Yichud ever. In fact, the Rashbam points out that one day where they were together, it was an accident. Because everybody took off to this Avodah Zorah, and she feigned as if she was sick. He didn't realize she would be sick at home by herself, and he would be Yichud with her. Yichud is a very dangerous thing, and it's something for us to know. And really, in essence, if we have a Shiloh, we've got to ask the Rav. And we also have to learn the Hilchos Yichud. That's one of the lessons of Yosef, that, again, Yichud acts like a barrier. I actually saw a quote, I think it was from Rabbi Beilinson, in the name of Mashgiach of Kol Torah, where he said that why do we need so many protections, like when it comes to Yichud and all these things? Come on, people are really going to slip up. So first of all, people do slip up. All you have to do is look at Clinton, and everything happens with Clinton. That should be enough of a fear. You know, the halacha is, by the way, you cannot have a Jewish woman with a goy, even with the goy's wife present. If you ever question that halacha, you just got to look at Clinton. Okay, proof on the pudding. So the Mashiach answers. He says, America has nuclear power plants, and they have so many precautions. What are the chances that something wrong is going to happen? So we actually learned that something wrong could happen, but they have all these precautions. Okay, Israel has drills, and on the day of a drill, they warn you that if the siren goes off a different way, that means there's an attack. What are the chances there's going to be an attack at the very moment that they're doing a drill?
Maybe.
But in all honesty, when you're dealing with something serious, something like a nuclear power plant, and something like Arayos, which is extremely serious, you got to be very careful. And that's why Yichud, the Dinei Yichud are critical. Yichud says, the Rabbeinu Yonah, in two places actually, Rabbeinu Yonah says that there's actually, it's based on a pasuk in Masechet Avodah Zorah, quoted that Ki Tovim Dodecha Miyayin, that Dirabonons, it's not me, it's Gemara, are greater than Deoraisis. Now how can that be? That's impossible. How can Deoraisis be greater than Dirabonons? So it explains Rabbeinu Yonah. You're right, Deoraisis are more important, but by keeping dirabonans, you show that you have tremendous yiras shamayim. You have tremendous yiras shamayim. Because, you could have just kept the deoraisas. That's it. But you are worried that you will transgress a deoraisa, so you make a fence around it. Sort of like, I remember I was going to Nimrod's castle. Thank God there was a railing on the side, because it was a deep, deep cliff on the other side, which I was very nervous about. So you need that protection. You need that. And when you keep Durabonos, that is tremendous Yerushalayim. So Yichud can actually be used in a way to raise our Yerushalayim. Okay. Chumras Ha'avera. Chumras Ha'avera. It pays to look at the Chumras Ha'avera. I'll just tell you four crazy stories. Two from the Gemara and two from our times. Rabbi Tzadok, the Gemara in Kiddushin says, one Kiddushin has crazy stories. They're either on Daf Mem Mem Aleph or Pei Pei Al Pei Bet. Rabbi Tzadok once had to go to the house of Matron Issa, some matron, and he finds himself all of a sudden locked in the house with her alone, he's trapped. He's trapped. There's no way to get out. I guess maybe she had her servants there, and she goes, I want you to sleep with me. And he realizes there's no way out of it. So he goes, you know what? I'm famished. I first would like to eat. She goes, well, all I have is pig. So he goes, okay, I'll eat pig. So she goes, how can you do that? She goes, come on. What's the difference between sleeping with you or eating pig? I'm already going to sleep with you. I might as well eat pig. So she heats up her oven to warm up the pig, and he jumps into the oven. She actually, when she sees what he does, she goes, oh my gosh, if I would realize that you care about this so much, I would have let you go. And she let him go. The other story is Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana in those days was the Avon man. You know, you had Avon women who go from door to door, so this is the Avon man. Anyway, it's a bad profession because he had to deal with a lot of women. Anyway, somehow he finds himself in a very tight situation, no escape, one of those no escape situations. So he says, okay, I'll sleep with you, but before I do it, I have to, powder my nose and make myself look more handsome. So he goes to the roof and he jumps off the roof to kill himself, actually. And Eliyahu HaNavi at the last second saves him. Chumras Ha'avera. Obviously, we're dealing with something of an incredible level. It's something for us to keep in mind what we're talking about. In the Shoah, I actually heard this story from Rav Aretz, who teaches in one of the heads of Dar Chibina. He said that there was this woman who one of the commanders of a camp wanted to have relations with, and a woman can be passive actually about it. So he goes, no, you have to willingly sleep with me. And she goes, I refuse. He goes, I'm going to put you into that oven right now, right? Alive, not dead, alive. She goes, I'm not going to sleep with you willingly. And he put her into the oven, and he turned the oven on, and she was screaming, and eventually she was killed. That's a tremendous level of tzidkus on her part. And in all honesty, all you have to do is also read Go, My Son, by Chaim Shapiro, Avi Shapiro's father. He was in the middle of Russia, in the middle of nowhere. No Jews around. And he kept his frum tight. He kept his frum tight. Again, because he had an idea of what it means, how serious and avera you are when you're dealing with arayos. Okay, I don't want to go on too much. I can go on. Anybody can leave if they want. The Gemara tells us, the Medrash, I'm sorry, tells us to do visualization also. Visualization. The Medrash says that Yosef visualized, in essence, okay, this is in essence what he was doing, visualized her like a bear. Okay, what happens is, imagine you are, there's a bear there with a wearing a necklace, okay, and there's a whole bunch of guys who are very strong, and the strong guy who gets it can get the necklace off, and the necklace can belong to that person. So all these guys are really strong and really stupid, but there's one guy who's smart, and he says, I know what I'm going to do with my 2 feet, and it's called to run, because I don't only see the necklace, I see the teeth that can bite and can kill. When you sleep, go and commit arayos, there are teeth there that gnaw away and destroy the person. The Gemara says in Shabbos, "Hu amar v'yehi." God made it. It shouldn't. It doesn't make sense that it should happen. What is a woman? A woman is really a sack full of excrement. Okay, there's excrement in her. Okay, we're talking about ourselves too, and her mouth is full of blood. And yet everybody chases after her. It's only because of a gezeira of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So the Aruch HaShulchan points out that take that into your mind, take it into your mind, and if somebody is tempted, think of the bear. Think of what a woman is really about. And hopefully that will protect you. In fact, the Gemara, it makes the Gemara more understandable. The Gemara says it's better to be behind the lion than to be behind a woman. Why? Because you're dealing with something that won't only kill you physically, it's going to kill you spiritually. You're behind that bear, and you're behind a sack. Doesn't even make sense. A sack full of blood and excrement. Okay, Sof Davar Hakol Nishma. The Chafetz Chaim goes on a long time about this one. It's last pasuk in Koheles. In the end result, everything is known to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So the Gemara. Again, I think it's in Sota. The Gemara in Sota says that what happens is, it said in the pasuk, "Lishkav etzla," she wanted him to sleep with her in this world. Liosima, Rashi even quotes it, "Ba'olam haba," in olam haba. Now, how is Yosef going to be with her in olam haba? So explains the Gemara, when you do an Avera, it becomes connected to you. Just like, you know, you have these pictures of the guy with his loyal dog right next to him the whole time, staying by his leg the entire time. That's your Avera. Your Avera is by your foot. In fact, Melafafto, it envelops you. Okay? In fact, the Chafetz Chaim says in Shem Olam, the moment you do the Avera, there's a mirror image of it in Shamayim. Okay. Unfortunately, I know a guy actually who committed adultery, and I've thought about it. How, at the height of his pleasure, what he thought was pleasure, Koris. That's what he got. Just at that moment was Koris. At that moment, he's facing. It appears up in HaKadosh, before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It means eternal shame. Unless the person does tshuva, of course. The person goes up to Shemayim with this Avera, he will face an eternity of shame. Okay, if you want to get an idea what shame means, all you have to do is read Rav Ari Kaplan, Naked Before God. It's in the Ari Kaplan anthology. There's a part that's called If You Were God. Within that book, there's one that's called Standing Naked Before God. I think that's what it's called. That's the piece where he discusses what it means to be shamed before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, in both Shmiras HaLashon and in the Mishabur, the introduction to Chela Gimel, he says, imagine, okay, I'll just give you an idea based on Lashon Hara. Imagine you talk Lashon Hara, you listen to Lashon Hara. So what's going to happen? Your limbs get chius from any mitzvah you do and get ruined by any avera you do. So what's going to happen? after Me'av Esrim Shana, you go up to Shemayim, and okay, you're facing everybody else. Everybody else has got their bodies. Hopefully, you know, you have the 248 limbs that are supported by the 240 positive commandments, the 365 sinews by the 365 negative commandments. And then what happens? You show up and you're missing your mouth and you're missing your ears. You're a Nebuch, that's for sure. Okay? You can't even communicate with anybody. Embarrassment. Eternal embarrassment, eternal shame. And this is why when we daven, we say, V'lo nevosh kiva v'chol b'tachnu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, save us from the shame. Just want to point out, in again, it's something for you guys to look at, but in Mesil Shishorim, Perich of Gimel, he says like this, here, when you think, remember, this is a famous thing with Akavya ben Mahalal. You have to think of three things. The third one is that you're going to be standing lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right, in the court case. And when you think of this in your heart, you're standing before the Beis Din of Mala, right, before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Vahator, the epitome of Kedusha and Tahara, among his holy angels who have no blemish, and you're standing there with all your blemishes. Tomei. Megu'o means worse than Tomei, because of your actions. Can you even pick up your head? Can you even open up your mouth? Where's your mouth that you opened up in this the past world? Why aren't you talking now? What's wrong? That's what we have to think about Olam Haba. Okay, I really don't want to take too much more time. There is a lot to talk about. I'm not even going to tell. I just tell you there's what to talk about building up a person, godless. Okay, I don't want to take the time right now. Hakaras HaTov, these are different things that Yosef did do, actually. Hakaras HaTov, Gadlus, he made a Shvua, believe it or not. It's okay. You're normally not allowed to make a Shvua, but to save yourself from an Avera, you could. You could. The Stipler actually explains that the reason is very simple. He says, it's if the guy doesn't believe it's an Avera, so the Shvua makes it clear that it is now an Avera. And so it reinforces it to make it clear to him that he's on the verge of an Avera. But I'll end with one last thing, two last things. One is that there's a rule in karate. The first rule in karate is run. If all else fails, or even if not all else fails, and this is what Yosef did, he ran for it. He ran for it. He was worried that the Yetzer Hara would get too strong, so then you run for it. Vayonas vayetzei achutza. And this we see actually in another story of the Gemara with Rav Amram Chasida. What happened was there were a bunch of women who were captured by Goyim and they freed them. And the question is, you know, like, you don't want anybody, you know, who's going to watch over these women and everything? For whatever reason, they felt everybody had to be protected from them. So they put them on in an attic. And they had them go up by ladder, and then they took the ladder away, and this ladder could only be carried, says the Gemara, by 10 people. It was that heavy a ladder. Okay, one of those, not the plush ladders, the more, I don't know what you call it. I've seen those ladders. I once had a kid on one of those ladders and it fell backwards, but that's a different story. So anyway, Rav Amram Chasida was coming home one night, and he saw by the moon, he saw one woman. And all of a sudden, he was caught by his desire. He couldn't stop. And he started climbing the ladder higher and higher and higher and higher. And he couldn't stop himself. Finally, he pushed his foot to one side, the other foot to the other side. He held him that way, and he screamed out, Nura be Amram. There's a fire in the house of Amram. There's a fire. He screamed. Everybody comes running. Comes running. And there's no fire. All they see is Rav Amram on the ladder, getting his way up to that woman. But he was saved. He was saved. They go, aren't you embarrassed? Aren't you embarrassed? He goes, better to be embarrassed in this world than the next world. He ran. He did, if all else fails, he did what he could. And that's why he's called Rav Amram Chasida, somebody who could overpower the Yetzer Hara like that. Okay, again, there are other things discussing tzitzis and discussing Palti Ben Laish, but okay, I'll end with the last thing, which is the Gemara says, it talks about Yosef, who can bear the name Yosef, and the Marsha says, all of Am Yisrael can bear the name Yosef. All of us have within ourselves to defeat the Yetzer Hara. We have to sometimes pull from our innermost powers, but we can defeat the Yetzer Hara, whatever sin it might be. We can defeat the Yetzer Hara, We have to be prepared for it. You shouldn't wait to the last second. Obviously, Yosef had years of waiting for that moment where he could be caught off guard. So he shouldn't be caught off guard. And what to do in such a situation. Vayonis was probably natural to some degree. He built himself up that way. But we can all defeat the Yetzirah and also be following the footsteps of Yosef HaTzadik. Okay.
Yeah.